Thank you, Brother Chris. God bless you. If you'll take your Bibles this morning and find Luke chapter 1 and verse 39. Luke chapter 1, verse 39. This morning, as we continue in Luke's gospel, let's think about for just a few moments three lessons on obedience from the Christmas story. Three lessons on obedience from the Christmas story. If you were here last Sunday morning, we began studying Luke's gospel, verse by verse and chapter by chapter, and we will be in Luke chapter 2 on December the 24th, and then continue on after that. But last Sunday morning, we heard the announcement of the birth of John the Baptist. And we also heard the announcement of the birth of Jesus the Christ. And both of them came from Gabriel. That was Luke chapter 1, verses 1 through 38. Well, we're going to think just for a few minutes this morning, before we get to these three lessons, about these mothers just once more. And we begin in verse 39 thinking about Mary. Let's look at the text. Now Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste to a city of Judah and entered the house of Zacharias and greeted Elizabeth. So this is Mary who is going to be carrying the Lord Jesus. And Zacharias and Elizabeth going to be carrying John the Baptist. Verse 41, and it happened when Elizabeth heard the greeting of Mary that the babe leaped in her womb and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. By the way, brothers and sisters, the reason that John the Baptist, or one of the reasons that John the Baptist leaped in his mother's womb, it's not because he's a fetus, not because he is a group of cells, not because he is a lump of tissue, but he was a human being born in the image of God. Verse 42, then she spoke out with a loud voice and said, so this is Elizabeth speaking to and about Mary. Notice what she says. Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. Literally, in the language of the New Testament, Elizabeth said to Mary, you are the most blessed woman of all. Now, why would she say that? How could she say that? Well, let's continue reading. Elizabeth speaking in verse 43, but why is this granted to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For indeed, as soon as the voice of your greeting sounded in my ears, the baby leaped in my womb for joy. And then look at verse 45. Here's the answer as to why Mary was the blessed of all women. Blessed is she who believed, for there will be a fulfillment of those things which were told her from the Lord. Brothers and sisters, what do you do when God reveals his plans for your life to you? Do you doubt, as Zacharias did? And we're grateful and thankful he had a change of heart. But do you believe, like Mary? Remember, she didn't understand. She didn't fully comprehend how she, a virgin, was going to be with child from above. But what did she do? She believed nonetheless. And may we be like Mary in this instance, When God reveals his plans for our life, even when we can't fully comprehend it, even when we can't see how the dots are going to be connected, rather than doubt, may we be found faithful to believe as Mary believed, that God's will would be fulfilled in our lives. But also consider Elizabeth here. Consider Elizabeth. Elizabeth, older in age, considerably older in age. And perhaps she could have had an attitude of, why Mary and not me? I'm older, I'm more experienced. I've been there and done that. Why is Mary the most blessed? But that's not the way Elizabeth responded. In verse 42, she calls Mary blessed twice. In verse 43, you see an attitude of humility when she says, "But why is this granted to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Rather than envy, rather than jealousy, rather than greed, rather than trying to keep up with the Joneses, Elizabeth, she was grateful for how the Lord's favor and blessing was going to be upon Mary. So let me ask you this question. When people around you, in your life, your friends, your co-workers, maybe your family, when they are being blessed or they are prospering instead of you or before you, how do you respond? Do you become jealous, envious, bitter, or like Elizabeth, thankful, humble, glad for Mary? Verse 46 is often referred to as Mary's song, the Magnificat. And in these verses, verses 46 through 55, Mary sings of her gratitude and her thanksgiving for what God has done and done in her life. Look at the text, verse 46. And Mary said, "My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit has rejoiced in God my Savior." By the way, we as Protestants differ from our Catholic friends as it relates to how we view Mary because of what Mary just said. What did she just say? She said she rejoiced in God, her Savior. You see, Mary, like you and like me, was a fallible, sinful human being. And you know what? She was in need of a Savior, just like you and I are. She was not worthy of worship. She was not worthy of veneration. She recognized that the only one worthy of worship was God, her Savior. Verse 48, "For he has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For behold, henceforth all generations will call me blessed. For he who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is his name. And his mercy is on those who fear him. From generation to generation, he has shown strength with his arm. He has scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their thrones and exalted the lowly. He has filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he has sent away empty. He has helped his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spoke to our fathers, to Abraham and to his seed forever. That's Mary's song that she sang unto God for who he was and what he had done in her life. Verse 56, and Mary remained with her, Elizabeth, about 3 months, and then returned to her house. Well, now we get to verse 57. 57 and three lessons on obedience from the Christmas story. The first lesson is this: obedience never gets old. Obedience never gets old. Look at verses 57 and 58. Now Elizabeth's full time came for her to be delivered, and she brought forth a son. And when her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. If you were to look back in Luke chapter 1, you would see in verse 7 that we're reminded that both Zacharias and Elizabeth were advanced in years. You would find that same truth in verse 18 when Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well advanced in years." And yet, even through these two individuals, they finally surrendered their lives to God's plan and finally recognized that this birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner of the Messiah, the one coming in the spirit of Elijah, they recognized that this was God's plan. And they wanted to be a part of God's plan. You see, they weren't so old that they could forsake and say no to obedience. But isn't that sometimes how we act? Isn't that sometimes how we respond, particularly if you have been a follower of Christ and you've been active in a local church for a number of years? Or maybe you're in a new season of life. You're a new grandparent. You're newly retired. Or maybe you have finally reached that age that everybody else considers a senior adult. And we think, oh, well, let somebody else in the church do that. I've been there. I've done that. I've served my time. I've gotten the t-shirt. Now it's time for somebody else to step up, right? Brothers and sisters, obedience never gets old. One of the greatest joys that I have had in my previous church and continue to have here at Emory Baptist Church is seeing the obedience of senior adults who have been faithful followers of Christ for years and years and years, and still today. Even this morning, one senior adult lady, as I was talking to her before Sunday school, said, "Brother Richard, I really didn't feel like getting up and coming this morning." But she did. Many of you know that on Monday mornings at most Baptist churches is oftentimes the time when those in charge of the budget and finances count the previous day's offering and giving. That was true at my previous church. Monday morning was being time when the financial secretary and someone responsible for that would come and they would count what was collected the previous day. And that's true here at Emory Baptist Church. We have budget and finance committee and even some beyond that who have been faithful, regular counters for years. And so they count all of the dollars, all the cents, all the checks, all the electronic funds that we receive throughout the week, all the dollar bills, all the coins, etc. And many Monday mornings out of the year, there is this phenomenon that happens. When a senior adult widow, oftentimes, will come and bring her check to the church on Monday morning to make sure it's considered and collected for that offering count. For whatever reason, that senior adult widow may not have been able to be there the previous day. Maybe she was out of town. Maybe she had guests and couldn't come. Maybe she was sick. But she felt like that absolutely, positively, when the offering was being counted on Monday morning, that she had to have her check included. Now, that may not seem like a big deal to you. Probably not a big deal to many. And many folks probably think, oh, well, that could have waited until the next Sunday. And you're right, but not for her. Because obedience never gets old. And she wants to make sure that her financial giving has been faithful unto the Lord. And so I don't know about you right now, and in your particular age, in your particular season of life, but I just want to remind you, brothers and sisters, regardless of where you are and regardless of how old you are, obedience never gets old. And so you can serve the Lord for 10 years, 15 years, 30, 50, 70 years, and you still need to be faithful in your serving. And you still need to be faithful in your attending. And you still need to be faithful in your giving. Just as Zacharias and his wife, Elizabeth. Obedience never gets old. Number two. Obedience will sometimes be unpopular. Obedience will sometimes be unpopular. So, Zacharias and Elizabeth were devout Orthodox Jews. And so verse 59, so it was on the eighth day that they came to circumcise the child, and they would have called him by the name of his father Zacharias. Verse 60, his mother answered, and no, he shall be called John. Somehow, some way, Zacharias was able to communicate to Elizabeth, no, we're not going to name him Zacharias, we're going to name him John, John the Baptist. Verse 61, but they, well, who is the they? Go back to verse 58. When her neighbors and relatives heard how the Lord had shown great mercy to her, they rejoiced with her. So there now in verse 61, but they said to her, there is no one among your relatives who is called by this name. In other words, John, that's ridiculous. Don't you know that you're supposed to name him Zacharias Jr. or Zacharias the Second? John, where'd you get that from? See, brothers and sisters, sometimes obedience can be extremely unpopular. And we can hear that the loudest from family and friends. And I want to encourage you this morning in the day and age in which we live, whether it is culture or the crowd, or both the culture and the crowd. If the culture and the crowd are opposed to the Word of God, then you and I better kick culture and crowd to the curb. Don't let the culture and the crowd, brothers and sisters, influence you and lead you astray on things like gender identity. Don't let the culture and the crowd lead you astray on things like the definition of marriage. Don't let the culture and the crowd lead you astray on the sanctity of every human life. Don't let the culture and the crowd lead you astray on what God's word says about supporting Israel. Obedience never gets old. Obedience will sometimes be unpopular. And number three, obedience can change your situation immediately. Obedience can change your situation immediately. Look at verse 62. So they made signs to his father what he would have him called. And he asked for a writing tablet and wrote, saying, his name is John. So they all marveled. And look at verse 64. Circle the verse, first word, or highlight it in your Bible. The New King James Version reads, immediately his mouth was open and his tongue loosed, and he spoke praising God. Do you remember why Zacharias' mouth, why he was unable to speak previously? Because he had doubted God. But when he communicated with the crowds, the family and friends and neighbors who were there, when he communicated with them what John's name was supposed to be, agreeing with Elizabeth and becoming obedient, immediately Zacharias' situation changed, didn't it? Then fear came on all those who dwelt around them. And all these sayings were discussed throughout all the hill country of Judea. And all those who heard them kept them in their hearts, saying, what kind of child will this be? And the hand of the Lord was with him. Think about this for just a moment. Maybe your marriage right now is not well, and you are considering calling it quits. And yet today, if you will stop believing the lies of the devil and start believing the truth of God, being obedient in your heart, immediately your situation will change. Or maybe in your marriage, and nobody else knows, but God knows, maybe in your marriage you have embraced that which the culture says is okay. A little interaction with somebody else who makes you happy and makes you feel good and meets your needs in ways that your spouse has never met your needs. The Bible calls that adultery. But yet, today, if you say no to the ways of the world and yes to God's word, immediately your situation can change. But perhaps the greatest example of how obedience can change our situation is that some of you are here today and you've never put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And yet, if today you would admit that you're a sinner and believe that Jesus Christ came from heaven to earth to live a sinless life, to die on the cross in your place. And if today you would be obedient to answer the call of salvation, immediately your eternity can change. And today I would invite you to do that. In just a few moments after I finish praying, we're going to be standing and singing all across the auditorium. And if today you would call on the name of the Lord to save you, I would invite you to step out of one of these aisles here and make your way to the front. I'd love to greet you and rejoice with you and pray with you and counsel with you about calling on the name of the Lord to save you. Maybe you're ready today after hearing these lessons on obedience. Maybe you're ready today to start being obedient once again. And it would just be a great act and sign of commitment, not for anybody else to see, but for you to do just between you and the Lord. Maybe you come here on the front, into the front on bended knee and saying, today I'm recommitting my life as a follower of Christ and being obedient, because obedience never gets old. Maybe it's a recommitment to your marriage, a recommitment to your family. Maybe you're here today and you're a guest and God is leading you to formally unite with Emory Baptist Church. We'd love to welcome you today. Love to welcome that commitment and that obedience to be connected to a local body. When we're standing and singing in just a moment, we would invite you to come. Would you close your eyes and bow your heads and go to the Lord in prayer with me? Father in heaven, we are grateful and thankful for Zacharias and Elizabeth and their son John the Baptist, preparing the way and pointing us to Jesus the Christ, the Son of God, the Son of Man, the Savior of the world. Father, I pray that today, for my brothers and sisters in the room, that we would delight in obedience in a fresh and new way, committing and recommitting our lives to your will and to your way above all else. Father, we ask and pray for you to draw men and women and boys and girls unto yourself this morning, to convict of sin, to train in righteousness. We pray, Father, you'd give faith to believe. And we commit our time to you. In Jesus' name that we pray. Would you stand very quietly and very reverently to your feet this morning? As Brother Chris comes to lead us, and I'll be here at the front, would you respond today to our invitation?